This is the True Voice Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Gibbard. Back in 2011, I started a social business agency called True Voice Media. In 2013, I launched this podcast because my audience told me that they wanted to learn more about how social media could help them grow their business, but they wanted it to be interesting and without all the standard social media hype and BS. Just someone who will give it to them straight with honest, simple strategies that they can use today. If you're a new listener and that sounds like what you want too, listen to this episode. And if you love it, subscribe to our show. We'd love to have you on board. So without further ado, let's get started. Hey everyone, my apologies for the interruption, but I need to pause real quick just to thank our sponsors and partners who make this show possible. Today I want to point out a partner of ours. It's a piece of software that we use called Contactually. Contactually is a CRM, and I know that when most people hear the word CRM, they let out a collective groan, because if they're a marketer or a salesperson, they probably have these painful memories of multiple months of setting up, reporting issues, unintuitive interfaces, just awful experiences. And realistically, most salespeople just want to be able to visualize their pipeline and keep in touch with the people who matter and who are important. How hard should that really be? But I'll tell you, when I think of CRM, I actually think of something different, because I'm staying top of mind with my network and I'm keeping in touch with my prospects. And when I meet someone at an event, I'm going to have a wealth of information about them and an email in their inbox by the next morning. How do I do it? Contactually. Contactually is a CRM that is designed to maintain relationships and close deals. I can personally tell you that it has been wonderful for our business. For small businesses and individual salespeople, Contactually is the CRM you've been waiting for. It took me about 3 to 5 hours to set it up initially, and after that, I was keeping in touch with about 30 to 50 more people per week, and no, I am not exaggerating. So if you don't have a CRM or you're unhappy with your current CRM, try Contactually, totally risk-free for 30 days. If you hate it, you've lost nothing. But if you love it, trust me when I tell you that it pays for itself faster than you can believe. Learn more and try it for free by visiting truevoicemedia.com/CRM. This is episode 50 of the True Voice Media Podcast, and I'm here today. A very special guest. Is a milestone episode for us, hitting the big 50. I've got none other than Tony Wilkins. Tony, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
So for all of you out there, Tony has graciously set aside some time for us. He's been a little under the weather recently, but he is muscling through to drop some real knowledge bombs on everybody. So I'm gonna keep this thing moving nice and swiftly. I want to keep you on your A game so that you don't lose that energy you're storing up for us, and then we're going to go, I'll let you get back to it so that you can go and enjoy your weekend.
Alrighty.
All right. So, Tony, you are all over the place, and I say that not in a scattered, uncoordinated way. I mean that you are everywhere. I mean, author, radio host, networker, book service for speakers. You're in cooking, career, sales. I mean, you are all over the place. And not only that, but you're really making a name for yourself and doing a lot in those spaces. So for anybody out there that is, for some reason, not yet familiar with who you are, can you do me a favor and just give a quick overview bio of who you are? And I'll be sure to add a little bit more detail in the show notes. But how do you present yourself to people, as especially someone who is such an avid networker as yourself?
Well, I guess the way that I present myself is I'm a radio host, because that's what most people know me for. My show, Small Business Forum Radio, has been on since 2011. We've got nearly or over 200,000 listeners globally. We've got advertisers and partners that we work with. I'm the publisher of 3 magazines, one on food, one on small business, and one on the speaking community. I'm also a public speaker, which is how I generate most of my revenue. So I'm a coach specializing in small business. So I do small business strategy sessions. I publish a directory for speakers. I have a boot camp for speakers. I've got a booking service for speakers that really want to have more speaking engagements. I have 4 books that I've published. The latest one is on how to book more speaking engagements. Let's see, I know I do some other stuff, I just don't remember what.
Well, when you do so many things, it's tough to actually put them all out in one concise sort of sales pitch. But let's start with some of the things that you're really most known for. So you are most known for your radio show, which is extremely popular and one of the top shows on the Blog Talk Radio network. But your main bent in terms of who you really serve seems to be that you're talking to small businesses and public speakers and authors. So I wanted to dig in a little bit about some really, one of the things I liked as I, looked into what you were doing out on the web is that you really do provide not just valuable information, because there are a lot of people out there that provide valuable information, but what I liked about your style is that you're very actionable. You provide very specific steps of like, hey, do this and expect this to happen. And if it doesn't, then do this. So it's very, very practical. So I wanted to dig in a little bit on some of your better tips for small businesses, for speakers, for authors. And, one of the things I just want to let you know that I'm going to include in the show notes, if it's okay with you, is you had written this article in the Small Business Forum magazine in which you gave 17 marketing tips immediately followed by 13 PR tips. And you didn't name it that way, like in the age of BuzzFeed listicles. That's what you did. You thought these things up and you just kind of spit out all of this valuable, actionable stuff. So if it's cool with you, I'm gonna add that to our show notes.
Sure.
All right, cool. Absolutely. So let's start with small businesses. So you find yourself consulting a lot of small businesses. You have a relationship with Small Business Association of America, SBA, right? And you're constantly talking to people who are starting or running small businesses. What are some of the things that you're seeing in recent years that have changed relative to what you've seen in the past? What are some of the things that small businesses really seem to be struggling with in your experience?
Well, that's sort of an interesting question, because early in my career, and I've been at it for over 30 years, early in my career, I was a B2B telemarketer. So a lot of the companies that I was dealing with had to do with insurance brokers, mortgage brokers, janitorial companies, that sort of thing. And so the focus was really about sales and marketing, really how to do effective B2B telemarketing, which a lot of small businesses, didn't know how to do and didn't know how to get started and, what to pay a telemarketer and that sort of thing. What's interesting is that my career has shifted in the last decade or so, where I'm doing more, talks with speakers, how to make money as a speaker, how to do effective influential networking, which is a whole another subject, that sort of thing. And so what's interesting is that when I get in front of these small business owners, and it doesn't matter what industry, one of the main topics or one of the main tips that I give them is the best way to get new customers is to educate your target audience. So the best way to educate your target audience is by teaching. And that's sort of where the public speaking comes in. So when I teach at the SBA or if I'm teaching in Fort Mason Center or private coaching, I get small business owners from every industry. It's not just speakers. And what they're looking to do is get in front of more people and generate more revenue. They're looking for more ways to do what they're currently doing or better ways to do what they're currently doing. Because truth be told, the recession that hit us recently has sort of made small business owners redefine how we're going after business, how we're approaching new customers, how we are reaching out to them and marketing to them. And when a small business owner says, well, how can I teach about janitorial services to a group of my target audience, I usually give them a lot of different tips and a lot of different you know, subjects. I always remind them, look, you're the expert. People have a tendency of hiring experts in their field. So if you come off as, yes, I'm the expert in commercial janitorial services, chances are you get 20, 30 people in a room, you're going to get one or two new customers from them. What that also does is it sort of eliminates the need to get in front of a customer one-on-one or a prospect one-on-one. So it's sort of a whole new way of thinking about sales. Hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah, it does. And given that there's a little bit of that overlap, you know, you just kind of combined a bunch of different things that are your specialties, which makes perfect sense because they're all areas where you have influence and authority. But small businesses, speaking and networking, you know, we're talking now about the idea that if you deliver some public speaking engagements with the right audience in there, that that opens up opportunities for you to potentially do business with them. And especially if you present yourself as an authority or an expert in that field, that gives you an even better chance of it. I guess where I have a question about this in your experience, you know, I've only been at this since 2011 in my own company, that is. And I'm very comfortable on stage. I am a natural extrovert, and I absolutely love the attention of being up in front of a group of people. One of the things I've had happen recently is even just having a client on video sometimes can take several hours of doing the same take over and over because they get nervous, they're not comfortable, they're not naturally extroverted or comfortable thinking on their feet or improvising their lines. What do you do when you're advising a small business owner, and this is a tactic that you're trying to coach them on? What's one of the first sort of things that you would advise them, or tips or tricks of how to get out of their own head and be able to be present in that moment to be able to take advantage of that opportunity?
Well, I think number one, I would tell the prospect, I would remind them, you're the expert on this. A lot of times people feel like they have to have notes and they have to have, you know, all sorts of tricks in order to educate their target audience. But if you're the expert, I mean, you think of it in terms of, if I'm going to meet with a person, I'm going to try and sell them on, you know, a product or service, then I better know what I'm talking about, otherwise they're not going to hire me. So what I do is quite simply just remind them, look, you're the one with the information, you're the one who is the expert in your field, just tell them what you know and make sure that you give them at least one useful tip that they can walk away with that's going to make them remember you later on. You know, they may speak with, you know, 5 or 10 different experts, but if you can leave them with something that they didn't know or a new way of thinking about sales or running their business or whatever, now you've really got their attention. They're going to remember you. And that's kind of what you want.
So you're talking very much about what in today's day and age is commonly being referred to as content marketing in a lot of ways. You know, you're also talking about doing it in person and all that. But, you know, you're talking about really providing value through educational content or ideas and things like that. One of the things that struck me in the article that you wrote that I was referring to earlier with the 17 marketing tips and 13 PR tips is how willing you were to put it out there about traditional marketing, things like direct mail or telemarketing. And I know that's a lot of your background. I kind of want to get your take on the what you think the temperature is out there relative to traditional marketing versus digital, and if you've started to push your clients more into a digital space rather than a traditional space, or if there's still just as much value, it's about how you deliver it. So I'm curious what your thoughts are on traditional marketing and its current value.
Well, it depends on how you use it. So for example, I do very, very little direct mail campaigns because postage has just gotten frankly too expensive. So a lot of what I do is, you know, email campaigns and social media and that sort of thing. So that's not something that I really promote, but I do tell clients, you know, it's still an effective way of getting to people because a lot of people will get spammed and they'll see an email, they'll delete it, they don't know who you are, you know, that sort of thing. But if you can send them a direct mail, then at least they have to sort of read it before they toss it. And is it still effective? I think to some a certain degree, to a lesser degree than it was maybe 10 years ago. I think that it's one of those things where you have to sort of see what works for you. Some products or services may lend better to direct mail. So, for example, if you're an insurance broker, you want some people to, you want your target audience to call you. You know, there might be a call to action on the direct mail piece. Whereas if you are in a different field, you might say, well, email works a lot better. It's more effective for me. For me, direct mail just got way too expensive. And I don't even remember when I stopped, but there's a point in my own business where I said, you know, I'm getting better results and faster results just by sending out an email blast, you know, and getting in front of my target audience and teaching what I know. That seems to be working really, really well for me, but it may not be for everybody. In terms of telemarketing, I think telemarketing is still really effective regardless of what you're doing. And the reason why I say that is whether you are sending out a direct mail piece or an email piece, you still got to follow up on it. You still have to make sure it got to the right person. You still have to see whether or not there's an interest. And you cannot sell anybody anything unless there is a need. So you got to see whether or not there's a need for your product or service. The only way you're going to be able to do that is by asking the right questions, and that means you're going to have to pick up the phone. So telemarketing still works, you know, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I've had a lot of clients ask about, things like direct mail and telemarketing and all sorts of offline promotions. And generally what my take is on it is that unless you're tying it back to something online or some sort of a call to action where you can measure it or capture them in some way and measure the effectiveness of it, I'm generally very skittish about it. And maybe that's because a lot of the clients that I've dealt with over the course of my company have had limited budgets, so I tend to go towards things that are more measurable, that which generally means that I'm in the digital space. But it is interesting to hear you talk about your experience with it and how it may have changed, and that you still do feel that there's some value there. So it's interesting to hear. There's one that I know that you and I definitely agree on, and one of the things that I really like is that I'm going to make a statement, and I'm going to assume that I think you agree with it. And that's okay. That it's not about networking, it's about building a network. And I think that when people hear the word networking, they tend to think about these icky events in which they're handing out business cards or people they've barely even spoken to, and it's these kind of surface level conversations. Whereas I think what you've been very successful at doing, as evidenced by your reputation and just your online footprint, is that you've built a network. And that is people that you have actual real relationships with that you could call up, they know who you are, and you consider each other valuable resources. Would you agree with that idea that it's not about networking, but instead building a network?
Well, absolutely, and that's the reason why I call it influential networking and selling, because the way that it works, and I'm giving you sort of the abbreviated version of it, the way that it works is I will meet someone and I will ask them two questions. You know what these questions are, you might remember it. The two questions are, what do you need and how can I help? And those two questions always put people off in a good way because they never know how to answer them because nobody ever asks. You know, oh, I never really think about what I need because nobody ever asked me what I need. And so whenever I ask those two questions, nobody knows how to answer them initially, and then they come back with me and they'll say, well, this is kind of what I need. This is kind of what I'm looking for. Because here's a secret to real sales, to closing more sales. You cannot, and you heard me say this earlier, you cannot sell anybody anything until you know exactly what it is that they need. And so by asking those two questions, I know exactly what direction I need to take them in. Sometimes I'll learn that, you know, they don't have a budget or that they're not really interested in any of the products or services that I have. Or I might know, well, if they say, well, I'm looking to get more exposure, well, tell me what that means. Well, I'm looking to do for low-cost advertising. Okay, terrific. Now I can sell you an advertising package. That's the selling part. The influential networking part comes in when I ask them that question, and they tell me, and then I say, and it's usually, well, I'm looking to meet small business owners or business owners who are doing, you know, X, Y, Z. Once I know that, then I, because I have a huge database, I can send them lists, I can do introductions, you know, that sort of thing. But I take it a step further. And what I do is I tell them exactly what I need. And I literally have a list. I say, this is what I need help with. Here's a list. You know, pick one or two that you feel comfortable with. And it might be, you know, buy a subscription to my magazine. Introduce me to some speakers who might need my services. It could be a variety of different things. So long as we're helping each other and, you know, we're building a reciprocal relationship, that's what it's all about. But there is another component to that as well. What I also do, it's a little different from asking for a referral, because referrals are usually one shot and then you never hear from the person. So what I do is when I email somebody and I ask them those two questions, I also include a short bio so that they know who I am, what I do, what I've accomplished, and then they can decide, yes, this is someone that I want to meet, or no, not so much. So it's a lot different from networking. And here's a little secret for your listeners. I rarely ever go to a networking event unless I just want to get out of the apartment. I rarely do.
That's awesome. And I just want to also recap for those of you listening that if you didn't catch that, what Tony just did there is that he actually answered how to go about answering the question, what do you need and how can I help, and how he actually goes about doing that. So if you're listening and you didn't catch that, go back and actually re-listen to that part, because Tony first started out with, what do you need and how can I help, which is a great question, and it really does throw people off, and it starts with the value of what you can provide for them, which puts them in a more open position to potentially having a reciprocal relationship with you about helping one another. And then you've supplied a list of things and say, hey, if you can help with any of these, that's great. And I love the way that you've set that up.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And, you know, let's be honest. This is not going to work each and every time. But I'd say about 90% of the time, people, when I ask those questions and I start that dialogue, not only do they answer me and they help me, but they also remember me. They may come back to me, you know, 3 months from now and say, I remember how generous you were by sending me XYZ or introducing me to XYZ. Let me return the favor and I want to introduce you to whatever. Let me tell you something. Doing business this way has grown my business exponentially, because now at any point in time, I can go to anybody in my contact list and I say, this is what I'm working on. I need some help with XYZ. Can you help me? You know, and I know that I'm going to get the help back. And part of the reason why I started doing business this way was because I was like everybody else, going to networking events and meeting all these people. And they're terrific people. I would collect business cards. I'd have 40, 50 different business cards. When you're in media, people have a tendency of wanting to come on your radio show or, you know, TV show or whatever, which is terrific. But what I was learning is that people just wanted their 15 minutes, and then I would never hear from them again. And it got really, really frustrating. So I said, you know what, I gotta figure out a better way to do this. And I've got to approach people a different way, because I'm not networking with people that I want to do business with. And that's where those two questions came from. You know, what do you need? How can I help? And there's, and I keep saying this, I realize that, but there's another component to that. What I always tell people really upfront, I'm a very direct person, I tell them, I'm only interested in reciprocal relationships. And then I sort of break it down to them and I let them know, I have zero interest in putting somebody on my radio show and then never hearing from them again. So I'm kind of a stickler with that, because I've been there, I've done that. I don't want to do that anymore. What surprised me, initially I thought people would be offended by it, but they really find it refreshing. Oh, terrific. This is someone that I can I can really do business with on a long-term basis, and, you know, we're going to build a relationship. And they know that if they contact me once and I help them and they help me, they can contact me pretty much whenever. 10 years from now, they can contact me. It's great.
Well, I'm sure, you know, one of the reasons they find it refreshing, you know, interestingly enough, I had some friends that are European, so you know, people that I've met actually in Europe, and they said one of the things they've noticed about it's kind of a typical thing in America is that we tend to do that kind of like, oh yeah, we'll get together, or oh, love you, we'll talk soon, and it's this false sense of the relationship that exists. And I think by setting that stage and being clear, you know, most people run away from confronting statements or even being completely upfront like that. By doing that, you're actually kind of shocking people out of that routine of, oh, let's get coffee, and not actually meaning it, by saying, look, I'm being serious here. Like, if you don't want that, that's fine. But if you do, here's what I'm looking for. And I think that makes it really much more powerful.
Absolutely. You also mentioned something rather interesting. I don't meet people for coffee. Anybody who knows me will tell you, I don't meet for coffee.
Is that because you don't like coffee, or you don't like coffee meetings?
No, I don't, and this is going to sound really arrogant, but I'm a one-man operation. If I met with everyone who wanted to meet for coffee, I would never get anything else done. And there came a point where I was meeting with so many people for coffee, that I would be out of my office the entire day, and then I'd come back and I'd feel like, okay, now I've got to catch up, now I've got to do whatever. So I typically, I mean, there are special occasions where I will meet with someone, and usually what I will do is I will say, well, you know, I'm scheduled to meet with XYZ. Would you be interested in meeting them? And then I might meet with three or four different people, you know, at once, and then we all have coffee. So it's for me, it's more of a time management thing, not so much a let's meet for coffee. Because to me, meeting for coffee is, you know, let's shoot the breeze and let's sort of figure out how we can work together. Well, usually by the time I've met with them, I already know how we're going to work together or if we're going to work together, you know. So to me, that's sort of it not meeting for coffee, and I will meet them for virtual coffee. Let me be real clear with that. Because I deal with business owners all over the world. And so, like, you and I are talking, I'm having my coffee right now. Terrific. We're doing an interview. I'm multitasking. I've got another interview immediately after this interview, you know, and then I've got two other conference calls that I've got to do later on this afternoon. So for me, it's more of a time management thing rather than I don't want to meet this person, or I'm antisocial or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That all makes sense. So one thing I wanted to see how you go about this, because you're kind of a champion for your time, and you really stand for the value of the relationships that you're engaging in and trying to build. And I think that's nice because it makes you, you know, come off as more reliable. It also helps you manage your time, all those good things. But, you know as well as I do that once you start getting busy, it becomes more and more difficult to maintain these relationships, especially as your network grows into your point about coffee. You know, I'm in the same boat. If I met with every single person that wanted some of my time, I wouldn't be sitting here talking with you right now. I'd be on my eighth cup of coffee. So you know, I completely get where you're coming from. I guess my question is, how do you manage your follow-up process so that you're not one of those people that falls off the map, or that you're not one of those people that's seen as unreliable in maintaining those relationships?
That's never really been a problem for me, because my background, remember, is in B2B telemarketing. And one of the things that you learn is you close more deals or you close more appointments by following up. If you don't follow up, that's the number one rule with people who are not closing more deals. You gotta follow up. There are a lot of people that will send out direct mail pieces and emails and that sort of thing, which is what I said earlier, that they send it out, but then they forget to follow up and make sure it got to the right person or whatever. When I have a meeting with someone, it's on my tickler. I'll send them an email. Thank you so much for meeting with me or for speaking with me. I really appreciate it. tell me what I can do to help you, or how we can help each other. And I mean it. And they know that I mean it. And the other thing is that you've got to be reliable. If you say you're going to send someone a list of 100 business owners, send them a list. And I usually will do that within 3 days. Mm-hmm. They will have a list. What's funny is most of these people I've never met face to face. There is a woman, I'll give you a really terrific example. There is a young woman who I met. I take that back. I didn't meet her. I had a conference call with her. And she was a referral to me, or a connection, not a referral, to me. And we had this lovely conversation. It should have been 30 minutes, lasted an hour and a half. She asked me, well, can I introduce you to 40 or 50 people? And I said, sure, thinking that she's not going to actually do it. But I said, sure, that would be fine. Well, about a month later, she sends me an email. She says, you know, I apologize. You know, my dad was very ill, and I've been dealing with that. Let me make some introductions. And so one by one, these emails started coming in. And I think by the time she finished, I had 75 introductions with people.
That's insane.
And it was amazing. I had never seen anything like it. And I asked her, what do you need? And she said, well, I'm looking for X, Y, Z. And she sent me a list. And so I sent her, you know, some of the contacts, made some introductions and that sort of thing. Well, long story short, she's also scheduled to speak at my Women of Influence conference that's coming up in October. And that's how it works. It's like you help each other get wherever you're trying to get to.
Well, one of the things, just to echo that, you know, you and I met via a mutual connection, and I'm not sure if you've ever met our mutual connection face-to-face, but then you and I got on the phone, and just to kind of reiterate what you said, you know, you had, and this is also something that I think we've left out so far, but in addition to saying, what do you need and how can I help, you actually, for me, when we had a conversation, you actually offered up, here are several ways in which I can help. And I think being prepared as a networker or as somebody looking to grow a network to say, not only here's what I need and having that list ready, but here's what I can offer and having that list ready. And then being prepared to ask that first question, I think is essential. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kudos to you for that, because you came in prepared with here's how I can help, and then here's what I'm looking for, et cetera, and then moved right into it. Then once I actually said, hey, here's what I'm looking for out of that list, you operated within 48 hours, I think it was, you followed through on that. So to your point, I think, and I think this really comes down to preparation more than anything, because it seems to me, just based upon the way that you followed up and the way that you emailed, that you had done the work to actually be ready for that conversation, so that if I needed one of the things on your list, you were ready to go from it. I think for anybody listening, that's just something that you can draw from this episode, that very similar to the quote that I always like, the quote from Abraham Lincoln, which is, if you give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, I'll spend the first 4 sharpening the axe. Your approach to networking and building relationships is a very planful one. And I think that planning allows you to be very authentic in who you are and what you're looking to both put in and get out of it. So just good advice for anybody that's listening.
And you mentioned something, and thank you for that. I appreciate that. But you mentioned something that's really, really important, authenticity. Because people know when you're being real. It goes back to what I said earlier. If you ask those two questions, be prepared to help in a meaningful way, and then follow up and say, is there anything else that you need? Is there anything else that I can help you with? As business people, we have a tendency of being really stingy with our time and our resources and that sort of thing. But here's the thing, there's a lot of business out there for everybody, and the only way that we can get where we're trying to get to is by helping one another, which is the reason why, and I didn't say this earlier, which is the reason why, if I ask those two questions and I don't hear that echoed back at me, I won't do business with that person. I know instinctively they don't get it yet. And they may get it down the road, but at that moment, they don't get it. They don't get that I need help as well. And because they're so into their head and into gimme, 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 you know, let me come on your radio show, etc. They're not thinking what I need. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Makes perfect sense.
So I've gotten to the point where when I don't hear it, when they don't ask, then I just say, you know what? Nice enough person, not, you know, gonna really do anything for them at this point.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Yeah. So I wanna wrap on a different note than what we've been talking about. We've mainly been talking about building a network and your process and all that, and I think that's been insanely valuable. But I'd be remiss if I didn't spend at least one question of our remaining time talking about your work with speakers, the work that you've done yourself as a speaker, but also the work you've done with public speakers. And I want to ask you just a few questions about it, but then at the end, I want to, when you had sent what you're looking for, I want to make sure that I put that out to the listeners of this show so that if they have the ability to help you as well, they'll be able to look in the show notes and find a way to connect with you and exchange in a mutually beneficial relationship, a reciprocal relationship. So as it relates to your work with speakers, you know, I'd hate to just pin you down on a silver bullet question. What's the one thing? But, you know, a lot of people that listen to this show are solopreneurs, small business owners, things like that. And some of them are really looking to get involved in speaking, become an author, and kind of get out from under being in the business and instead kind of work on the business and on their brand. What are some of the most common mistakes in being able to make that jump from being a small business owner to being a paid speaker? What are some of the things that you've seen in your experience that are kind of your just 101 starting topics that you would give to people?
Here is, and thank you for that question, because I get that a lot. There's one tip that I give to all the speakers, particularly the ones that I work with, and that is to have more than one topic you can speak on. And here's what I mean by that. If you talk to a Jeff Hazlett, who is a high-tiered speaker, he gets hundreds of thousands of dollars for, you know, keynote speaking and that sort of thing. If you ask someone like him, he'll say, oh, you need to have one topic and one topic only because that's your brand and blah, 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 which is fine. He's actually correct on that. But here's what he's forgotten, I think. You have to get to that point. If you're not a Jeff Hazlett, you've got to start somewhere. You've got to build your name, your brand from somewhere. So, for example, my topics are small business. It's under the heading of small business. But I have 30 different topics that I can speak on, everything from B2B cold calling to making money as a speaker, launching an internet radio show and making money at it, launching a internet magazine and making money at it. So all of that falls under the heading of small business. What a lot of speakers will do is they will say, well, I want to get in front of small business owners and people, you know, that might be interested in hearing me talk. And what they do is they'll send a one sheet, and in my booking service, I'll send the one sheet to the event manager. And I'll say, well, this person speaks on anxiety. Well, that's all well and good. But if they're not booking someone to speak on anxiety and it doesn't have anything to do with small business, what's the point? They're going to go to the next speaker. So what I say is, okay, how does anxiety relate to your target audience? Particularly if you're trying to get in front of small business owners, does it relate to them? Can you tweak it and add some subtopics that are going to be applicable so that when the meeting planner looks at your one sheet, they can say, oh, okay, this person can speak on this, 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 and this. That's great. Let's go on ahead and book them. What I also find interesting is speakers always make the mistake that if they find their topics interesting, their audience will as well. So in other words, they're speaking on something that they're interested in, but is not necessarily interesting to the audience. And that's where they make their mistake. because they're in front of people and they're talking about anxiety, or, and I'm just using anxiety as a topic. So they're talking about anxiety or alcoholism or whatever, and it's only applicable to maybe a few people in the room. Now you've got a problem, because nobody's going to want to book you. Nobody's going to want to buy any of your products or services. You also have to get in front of people that can afford to hire you after you speak, because that's how we make our money. You know, you give a great talk, people, you know, want to hire someone who's an expert in their field, and then they want to hire them as a coach. Terrific. What's your coaching package? You know, what other services do you have? And then you make your money from that. But if you're not doing those things, if you're not having several different topics, not speaking to your audience on topics that are of interest to them, and not hedging your bets, essentially, so that you get hired more, then you're going to have a really hard time making money. And I'll let everybody in on a little secret. While I'm looking for speaking opportunities for my speakers, I'm also looking for myself, because I'm a speaker as well. I never sent out my one sheet, and I'm booking probably 8 to 10 speaking engagements per month. The only thing I sent out is a bio. That's it.
That's interesting.
That's it. And so I have video of myself. I never send it out. I have, mostly because I hate how I look on video, but I have a video of myself, different at Academy of Art, and different, you know, video or speaker reels and that sort of thing that I never sent out. The only thing I sent out is my bio. And I usually contact the meeting planners on behalf of my speakers, you know, and I'll say, here is, you know, a little bit about myself. And then I will get an email usually from the meeting planner saying, well, we've got a big event coming up. Can you speak on XYZ, or can you send me some topics you can speak on? And it's usually, you know, making money as a speaker, influential networking and selling, you know, maybe one or two others. And I usually will get booked.
Interesting. So you're even going about it in a more trimmed down way, just kind of relying on the strength of the relationship you've already got in the bio.
Well, the bio is, and the, I mean, you've seen it. Mm-hmm. The bio is such that once they see the bio, they really don't need to look at anything else. I mean, they may ask me for testimonials. They may ask me, you know, can you send me your rates, you know, for coaching or whatever, and I'm happy to send that out. But that is what gets my foot in the door. That's what gets their attention. And once I get their attention with my bio, I will usually say, okay, have you had a chance to look at some of the other speakers that I represent? Because I want to bring, if I get in the door, I want to bring them along with me. And then I will say, you know, what do you think of some of the speakers that I sent you? Are there any that sort of piqued your interest? And then, you know, we'll have a discussion and we'll say, well, this person, da 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 da. And then I take that back to the speakers and say, okay, this is what I think you need to do with your one sheet, tweak it.
Got it. That makes sense. I was just going to ask you one more thing about the speaking thing, and it's on the tip of my brain. I lost it. Maybe it'll come back, but. I was going to say one more thing about the speaking, but I totally forgot it along the way. Just I had it, but now it's gone. So, you know, I want to leave the people with the one thing, just to recap what you said is it's interesting advice you give to be able to speak on more than one topic, because since I've been speaking just in the beginning, I always was like, well, yeah, I could speak about that. Because most of the time it was in the realm of social media, and that was kind of my umbrella. So I could talk about how it related to finance, how it related to healthcare, or how it could be used for marketing or a particular platform. So it's interesting to hear you give the advice that you have to be able to speak on multiple things, or at least be able to take your thing and make sure that it fits. You know, and I think as a speaker, making sure that you're always working on creating a blend of information and entertainment is also another thing that I would encourage. I'm a big fan of Michael Port's philosophy of treating your public speaking not like speaking, but more like a presentation or like acting, a performance, he would say. I'm a huge fan of that because I've always been fairly theatrical and comical in my way of doing the public speaking. But I don't want to overload people with too much in the way of public speaking tips. I would love to potentially have you back on if you have time in the future.
Sure.
And talk specifically just about public speaking and some of your best practices and advice and things you've done. But for all those that have been out there listening that want to get in touch with you, where are some of the places that they can go and be social with you or connect with you online to learn more about what you do? And I'll put them all in the speaker notes.
Well, you can connect with me on Facebook. That's usually the easiest way. And that's Tony Wilkins, W-I-L-K-I-N-S. Some people spell it E-N-S, but it's I-N-S. You can email me directly, awil267487@aol.com. And that's the easiest way to connect with me. I've got a new website that I'm putting up, which I'm not prepared to talk about because it's going to be probably one of the biggest projects that I've worked on in a long time. But I'm very excited because it's going to help small business owners and it's going to help speakers. So hopefully by the next time I come on, I'll be able to talk about that a little bit more. But I'd say either Facebook, LinkedIn, or directly through email. Those are the three best ways to reach me.
Awesome. And for all of you out there that are listening, when Tony and I connected, he gave me a list of things that he's always looking for. And almost all of these are in some way mutually beneficial. So here's what you should keep your ears tuned for. One, if you're in need of more speaking engagements, Tony has a booking service that can help you actually get more speaking engagements. So if that's something you're interested in, please check in the show notes and contact Tony directly. You can learn more about his booking service. The second thing I want to point out is that he has a directory that actually lists speaking opportunities. So becoming a subscriber for that will also open you up to new opportunities to get more speaking engagements. And then if you're looking for a speaker, Tony, and I'd also like to throw my hat in the ring, I love public speaking as well. You can reach out to Tony directly and see if it's something that he can talk about, of which there are many, many topics. So those are three that I'll put out there. And as always, much like Tony, we're both always open to reciprocal relationships. So if you've been a listener for a while or even just a first-time listener and you'd like to speak with us one-to-one, I'm sure either of us would set aside a little bit of time to chat and see if there's a way that we can help one another. So for all of you out there listening, and Tony, again, thank you for coming onto the show. This has been a really kick-ass one. I really appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you for having me on. And anytime you want to come on my show, I don't know if I actually got a chance to book you on my show.
Yeah, I don't think we set aside the date yet, but you did extend the offer, so we'll have to we'll talk about that once we wrap up this episode. We'll talk about when we can get me on there, and I'll post those links out to my network as well. So you know, I'm going to name this episode, What Do You Need and How Can I Help? And I think that's a great note for us to close on. Tony, thanks so much for joining us. For those of you listening, thank you for your continued support and listenership. This has been episode 50, and we hope you stay tuned for the next 50.
You've been listening to the True Voice Media Podcast, and you made it all the way to the end of the episode. I'm proud of you. But now that you're here, this is what we're going to need you to do. First of all, head on over to your favorite podcast platform and give us a rating. If you don't know where to start, go to truevoicemedia.com/feedback. Next, if you're not yet a subscriber, it's time you fix that. Head over to truevoicemedia.com/podcast to subscribe by iTunes, Stitcher, or email. If you really want to show us some love, visit our partners and sponsors who help make this show possible. I know the show feels free, but trust me, it's not. I sure ain't done publishing these episodes, so I sure hope you're not done listening. I'll see you on the next one. Take care.